In today's episode of Backpacker Radio, we have a fun conversation with Nikki Rayon, the Bionic Woman, and Chance and I engage in a good old-fashioned Iron Chef contest. But before we get into the show, I want to give a shout-out to today's sponsor, Sawyer Products. Sawyer is the maker of a slew of essential hiker-focused products, including permethrin fabric treatment to help ward off ticks, Bicaridin topical insect repellent to give yourself a suit of armor against mosquitoes, the Sawyer Squeeze, which is the most popular water filtration device amongst thru-hikers, and the new Select filters and purifiers, which utilize a foam absorption technology to remove chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, viruses, heavy metals, and more. Check them out at Sawyer.com or at your local outfitter. Okay, let's do this. Welcome to Backpacker Radio, presented by The Trek. This is episode number 12. We're a dozen in. That's pretty exciting.
A dozen.
We have to celebrate every episode that we do.
I was going
to
say, we've been celebrating lately.
I just feel like you never know when the last one's going to happen. And that, like, quite frankly, if you'd have told me that we made it a dozen in, I would have been pretty happy about it.
Yeah, congrats.
Yeah, we did it.
Wow.
We should think of something cool for the Baker's Dozen episode.
Ooh, let's get a baker on.
We just had a chef on.
So.
Or we're about to have a chef on.
Are you against bakers?
Yeah. We also had a baker on. Don't you remember Salty?
Oh, yeah. The last episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've had a baker and a chef, and now we're on the baker's dozen.
We need to basically get every single profession onto the show just so we can have a different theme episode.
Ooh. That'd be fun.
I am your co-host, Zach Badger Davis. I am joined by my fellow co-host.
Hi, I'm Juliana Chauncey, a.k.a. Chaunce.
But yeah, so Chaunce, you just got back from San Diego. You're a little bit under the weather right now.
That's true. Not related.
Not unrelated.
Unrelated.
So why were you in San Diego?
So I made this year's class video for the PCT class of 2017. And they just showed that at Adventure 16 on Friday.
So putting that together, that was pretty easy, right?
Oh yeah. Total cakewalk.
Yeah. Like what? Five or six hours. You were pretty stressed out. I remember all of our text interactions for like the week leading up to you leaving. It was just like you were pretty much incoherent.
You were like asking me basic questions and I was like responding in all caps, like, I cannot function. What do you want from me?
Yeah. There was a pretty sizable delay in getting the bonus episode video out to like the 8 Patreons that paid money.
The minute I remembered that I had to, like, I didn't even know we were in the month of May, and you texted me and you're like, hey, bonus episode's going up tomorrow. And I was like, wait, it's May?
Yeah.
And then like had this massive panic attack and was like, I didn't sleep that night. P.S.
My favorite part is that the person that was tasked with editing together this incredibly intricate video project couldn't get the task of just getting a video file from her phone to me in the 1,000 different ways that could have been done. That took over a day.
Okay. But now that the video's out, yeah, and like no one has said that they truly hate it yet,
right,
like I can disclose what I haven't disclosed yet, which is that so from September to the end of December, like the entire end of last year, people were able to submit photos and videos and everything for this video, and then, you know, closed submissions in January, accepted things kind of into February a bit, but then, you know, had all that time to edit, and I hadn't been given a deadline, so you know, it was kind of like up to me. So I was like, okay, you know, like mid-June sounds like a good time frame to have this video done. I've got other projects I'm working on at the moment. I'll finish those up. Then I'll start the video and I'll be able to devote time to that. And mid-June seems like a fair time to have it out by. And so finally, like the first weekend in April came up and I went to a coffee shop and, you know, I dedicated the whole day just to, you know, getting sorted through everything and starting the video and, you know, just diving in. And so I opened up the email address that I had set up for submissions, which I hadn't really opened since I closed submissions because I disabled the links on the website that I was accepting them through. So really, there was no reason for people to be sending things because it was, you know, over. And I found out that Adventure 16 had gotten my email address from the PCT to email me about this event on May 4th. And instead of emailing my email address, they had been emailing the submission's email address. So there had been three different emails from them, like, hey, just following up, making sure you can come on May 4th. This is when we usually show the class video. Can you come? Will it be ready? And it's like 1 month prior, like the first weekend of April, and I had just opened everything, and I was like, oh, fuck. And so I'm in the coffee shop. I think I spent like 12 hours in the coffee shop that day, and then went back the next day and spent another 12. And then the entire month of April was just shit. I have to get this done.
Yeah. You were delusional. You were delusional.
Well, I mean, my time frame had been cut in half by, I lost a month and a half.
Yeah. I can't even imagine sifting through 250 hours of video.
No, it was more than, if you were to line it up, it was
that's how
way
long it took
more
to edit, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, it was everything and editing and everything.
So
yeah.
What was the total time of submitted entries?
I mean, I didn't line them all up, but there were hundreds of photos and hundreds of videos. And you know, you can only guess how long it takes to click through hundreds of photos, yet alone clicking through and watching that many videos. So it was a lot.
It's a non-enviable task, but you did a good job with it, as much as it pains me to say that. I really enjoyed watching the video. I'm going to break eye contact with you because I don't like delivering compliments to your eyes because it hurts my soul.
I'm staring at you right now.
But additionally, in addition to your showing that video that wasn't bad, you did some other cool PCT things.
Oh yeah, I did. So I had booked the flight to go, Friday, and I had it booked back for the end of the weekend, and I didn't really have any plans for the rest of the weekend. I don't really know anyone in San Diego.
Shocker.
Yeah. Who friends? What? And so I was like, okay, what am I going to do with the rest of my time? And I figured I would go out to the trail and do trail magic. So and it was Cinco de Mayo, which I was really happy about. So I bought a lot of Mexican beers. I called up a Mexican restaurant.
They're called cervezas.
Cervezas. I called up a Mexican restaurant and I asked them how many burritos they could make me in the span of a half hour, because I had put that off. And they were very confused. They were like asking what kind, and I was like, I don't care. Just put them in
burritos.
A bag. Any kind. And so they made me a bunch of burritos. And then I drove out to about 4 miles past the Cajon Pass McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
And just parked up out there and spent the weekend. And I didn't really know if anyone would be coming through.
Yeah.
Were
there people that were hungry? Because people just eat themselves silly at that McDonald's.
Yeah. So I kind of didn't get that many burritos for that reason. But I had also gotten vegetarian ones and stuff. Cause McDonald's doesn't have the best options for that. And there were two, actually. I thought this was a great idea. There were two people that didn't want to do the McDonald's challenge from McDonald's to Wrightwood. Instead, they did the calorie challenge, which was they sat down at McDonald's and they went head to head to see who could eat more calories. And it came out both almost hitting 3,000 calories in one sitting. And the girl came to camp and literally sat down. It was in so much pain.
Was this two females going?
A female versus a guy.
Ooh.
The girl did a really good job of keeping up. He was a big guy. He was tall.
Yeah.
But he came to camp and saw the burritos, took a burrito, and sat down and ate the whole thing after 3,000 calories at McDonald's.
Yeah.
So, bottomless pits.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, you also ran into one of our trail correspondents out there.
I did, and I felt so bad because, I mentioned that I don't listen to our trail correspondent episodes just because, it's hard enough to not quit my job and go hiking right now.
Yeah.
So, I don't listen to them because they give me such bad FOMO. And so I was sitting there chatting with everyone and someone was saying my name, and she came up to me and she was like, hi, are you Juliana? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I think I'm one of your trail correspondents. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, hi. And I got so excited. I was wondering if I would bump into one, and I did. And I was starstruck that she was there, that she hiked up and found me.
Yeah.
I'm that jealous. Was really fun.
Yeah.
I know, you should be jealous. She was really nice.
Katie. I just do want to do a little pre-trek propaganda that we do have an article on the website that outlines some of the best spots to do trail magic on the PCT. So if you're listening to this and you live near the PCT and you want to make a thru hiker's day, we've got you covered. Just Google best places to do trail magic on the PCT or head to the show notes and we got you covered. Very good article by Brooke Eller. So today's interview, we had a lot of fun with this interview. She's a very interesting woman. She's accomplished a lot. Her background is all over the place.
Do you have anything else you want to add?
She's cool.
She's cool. So we're here with Nikki Rellin. Did I
pronounce
Rulan? I should have guessed. That's a German name?
It's a European name.
European name. also known as the Bionic Woman. And let's just get right into it. I want to know, how did you get that trail name? Give us the full backstory.
So it was quite interesting. After I lost my leg and I was back in Germany for my rehabilitation for getting ready to hike 2,200 miles on the Appalachian Trail, I was in contact in Germany with a friend of mine who already hiked as a triple corner, all three long distance hikes, mm-hmm. Corner of the White, Pacific Crest Trail and Appalachian Trail. And he said to me, I should be called a Bionic Woman. And I said, no. And then I went to the set off party at the Appalachian Trail, kind of Amicola Falls. And then at one of the booths, one of the girls asked me, do you have a trail name? And then I said, I don't know, I'm not sure yet. I have no idea. Why you should be calling yourself Bionic Woman? So I guess what? Then I stick to it and I called myself the Bionic Woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess let's take a step back from that. So you started off saying that you lost your leg. How did that happen?
Well, in 2013, November 1st, I just came back from Germany. I just got my paramedic training done, and I was excited to join the Navy Reserves and doing my career here in the United States as a paramedic. And then I thought, because the ASVAB's test was kicking my butt, because I already failed the first test, and I got very frustrated with it, because they asked me kind of really ridiculous vocabularies. It's my second language. As you can tell, I have a heavy German accent. And then I decided to go to another canyoneering trip with my friends. And then when the final arrival at that blink of the canyon arrived, I just put a harness on, had a couple Jägermeister shots to get excited about it. And so that's what happens. It's the fine line between being an amateur and being a little bit too cocky about yourself. Because, you know, when you're being an amateur, you always double check. And so when you're becoming too routineered, then you're losing that kind of ability to double check. And
so this was a climbing trip?
Well, it was a canyoneering, and a rappel end of the canyon. It was a 250-foot rappel.
Right.
And that's when the harness came into play. So I put the harness back on with a couple of Jägermeister shots. Not a good idea. We're having too much fun. Beautiful sunshine day. And I clicked in. And as soon as I took off from the brink of the canyon, I was spinning in 360 degrees faster and faster and faster, really super fast. And I was on self-repel, so I was able to come to a complete stop with self-repel. And that was causing actually myself, because there were abrupt stop, but it caused me to came off of my synthetic loop, because the loop was not looped through the metal loop, it was looped through the synthetic loop. And by self-repel, by pulling the harness really super hard to come to a stop, I caused myself to free fall 45, the remaining of 45 feet. So I screamed, Scheiße! Do you know what that means?
Is that the German word for shit?
Exactly.
I guess that might have to.
So yeah, I mean, I was terrified. I like free falling. I'm a skydiver, guess what? But with auto parachutes, shitty shit. So I was definitely not really happy about that moment in my life. So I faded into unconsciousness, and it was actually super awesome, because when you're being unconscious, your body is super relaxed. So at impact with the bottom of the canyon, I was sort of stiffened up in anticipation. So that's the reason probably I not broke every bone in my body. I broke pretty closely to every broken bone, because I broke my pelvis, broke my left foot so severely that I had to be amputated. I broke all my ribs, I broke my sternum, and I broke my middle finger, you know.
She just wanted an excuse to give us the finger.
Yeah, right there. I think so. Well, she pointed it at you, not me.
That's
so
very true.
Please don't get that mistaken.
You're actually right about that.
And then I free fall total frontal forward on my ski helmet. Thanks God I was wearing my ski helmet, a Cheerio ski helmet, after advertising that helmet right now, because that's probably saved my helmet. The helmet was cracked in the center. And the next morning when I woke up in the hospital, I don't even had a headache. So at impact, I was then coming to consciousness, and my canyoneering friends were already rappelled before me down to the canyon, running to my aid. And I was on the brink of the canyon. I was facing downhill, and I already had that at that moment collapsed lung. And after my last grasp of air, I was screaming at my friends, pull me uphill. Don't do any spine precaution. Don't use any more time up, because otherwise you guys can start CPR. You know CPR?
Yeah.
heart compressions. So as soon as I started moving my body, I heard crepitus. Do you know crepitus? Crepitus means when bone and bone scraping against each other. And that's like a really kind of interesting sound, because I knew what that means, because I'm a paramedic, and I knew I need a tourniquet around my pelvis as soon as possible, because in less than 45 minutes, you can bleed internally empty, because you only have between 4 and 6 liters of blood.
So after you had fallen, you were the one diagnosing all the injuries and giving instructions to everyone else about what to do with your body.
Well, I'm a paramedic. What else I could do, right?
I mean, just the just your ability to stay, I think, you know, cogent and sane in that moment says a lot to your character.
It's interesting to me because I'm just getting into rappelling a bit. 2 weekends ago, I was in Utah rappelling. And since I'm new at it, my friend that, you know, was teaching me stands at the bottom, and there's, do you know what's called, like the fireman, where you can like hold
person right now. Yeah, I had a fireman as well, but you could do nothing about it because I came completely disattached from my harness.
From the rope.
Absolutely. The syndic loop ripped apart and the rope was disconnected, and I was 100% free falling like a skydiver.
Skydiving. That was the part I wanted clarification on, because you said your friends are at the bottom, and I was like, well, why weren't they doing anything?
And she was really pulling really hard on the rope,
and there was just nothing they could do.
There was nothing she could do about it. Yeah, she didn't saw because the canyon and the angle, she couldn't see
it's hard to tell sometimes
but she was terrified. But also she had my camera, because I gave her my camera. So and I wrote a book about it. It's called Push On, My Walk to Recovery on Appalachian Trail, and it's a memoir. Of course, it explains the accident the way I explained it right now here in the interview, and actually you see awesome pictures, because she took pictures. She took a picture before actually I came off harness.
Right.
So in the book, you can see me before I came off my harness. So you can see me then finally landing on the ground, completely broken with all my broken bones. And a picture from that rock where I landed with some blood spill.
Yeah.
Is it hard to look at those pictures?
No, I mean, guess what? I mean, I'm a paramedic. I mean, you see all kinds of crazy things in life. Right. And it's just part of life. I mean, what you kill make you stronger.
So that's a really vivid scene, that story of your fall. And anyone who's curious should go to your website, because there's a lot of media from that fall included on the website. There's a lot of photos. I saw there's a video from when you're getting
the helicopter rescue.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it was pretty chilling to, you know, because so on your website, you give away the first chapter for free, which kind of outlines that story and includes those photos as well. That was something.
This is so funny because, you know, you don't should survive 45 feet free falling off a canyon. And I'm telling people all the time, I guess the devil was not ready for me at that point, because he had to get prepared first for me. I mean, that's my explanation right now why I'm still right now breathing air on this planet, because I really believe that right now I have another chance, because I guess the devil had to get prepared for me first.
Yeah.
I mean, surely the fact that you were a paramedic as well, you know, probably saved you, because you were able to give instruction to the people around and tell them what to do, you know.
I mean, the most important thing is about holding on to your life. Mm-hmm. And staying conscious. I mean, the willpower.
Right.
Because I was a professional athlete, and I think I had more to do than my paramedic training, because my professional athleticism actually saved my life, because I was pretty darn good in shape, because I was a triathlete all my life. I was a professional boxer and kickboxer. Mm-hmm. I bicycled at that point 3 times across the United States, already bicycled from Alaska to Mexico City at that point in my life. So the physical ability actually kept me pretty much alive.
It's interesting. I've never heard anyone attribute their willpower to surviving something like that. I mean, maybe that I'm just being, you know, aloof, and that should be implied, but that's a really interesting thought, that your desire to stay alive was in large part what saved you in that situation.
Well, yeah, the physical ability. I mean, being already darn good in shape in that point of my life. I was 38 years old at that point, and I think my physical ability actually kept me pretty much alive.
Yeah.
And that's what doctors confirmed too. The amazing thing was that I was just able to hike the entire Appalachian Trail 40 months after my amputation. Oof. Just 40 months later, I was hiking 2,000 miles. Yeah. Because the German me, because as you can see here right now, I have a heavy German accent, and I'm trying to slow myself down, because sometimes I'm talking too fast. But, you know, the matter of the fact is that I am German. We're really stubborn, you know. We were very famous to being stubborn people. Mm-hmm. And when people tell me what I cannot do, I get even more motivated to prove them wrong. As soon as they told me I can never walk again and gave me a $6,000 expensive wheelchair and only popped me up with opiates, I was really kind of really motivated to show them that I can do whatever I want to do.
And how did you choose the Appalachian Trail? How is that?
Well, in 2006, I already hiked the Pacific Crest Trail. Okay. That was already on my bucket list. One sooner or later, I want to hike the AT. And then I was living back in Germany for my rehabilitation. And so I was living with my parents because I had no income at that moment. So that really helped me out at that moment in my life because I was living with my parents for 8 months. But after 8 months, I got in depression stage one, not because I lost my leg, because I was living with my parents.
Can you imagine? How do they feel about that?
I mean, everybody who's an adult and has to move back to your parents' house.
Take my leg, but don't put me back with my parents.
On the hierarchy of traumatic events to avoid. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the reason why I got depression. Stage one, not because I lost my leg. So I had to find out the escape route. And then all of a sudden, the glorious idea was, let's go on my walk to recovery. At that point in my life, I was only on 40% leg strength. I was still walking on a cane, supportive to stabilizing my weight because I didn't have enough weight barrier at that moment in my life. And as soon as I am, and you know, what a really important message I want to tell people, you know, when you think, after you being kicked out of the hospital 3 times a week, going to physical therapy, that's your rehab? Guess what? I don't think so. The rehab is only good for the hospital. When you be in a hospital, that's physical therapy, yes. But as soon as you're out of the hospital, there is no more physical therapy you should take. You should take your own physical in your own hands, meaning go to the swimming pool. And swimming is the best because it buries your weight in the water and you have no impact on your bones or anything else. Swimming is the best exercise you can do. You can even walk in the swimming pool if it's your body height. And so what I did, I exercised pretty much every day between 4 and 8 hours.
So, I mean, I guess that brings up my next question is after your accident, was there ever a period where you doubted your ability to do endurance sports?
Well, I didn't have time to think about that.
So what were the biggest challenges you found when hiking the Appalachian Trail?
Well, the matter of the fact that I was just 40 months later, my limb was not atrophied. So by starting out, I was a little bit more heavy. And of course, hiking every day, you're losing a lot of body weight. So you atrophy and you're losing kind of tissue on your limb as well. So then the prosthetic was kind of rubbing on my limb, and that caused me an infection. So actually it cost me 3 times an infection. Every time when I got an infection, my limb was swollen up 3 times the size. I could not fit any in my prosthetic cuff. So I got off the trail, had to take antibiotics for like 10, 15 days before my limb was swollen back to the normal size. And then the biggest challenge almost cost my life again. So I feel like I'm a cat. When you're reading my book, it says on the last shop in my last life right now. So I should be more careful by now. But what really was life-threatening event on the Appalachian Trail was Mount Katahdin, because I did a flip-flop. So I hiked halfway point to Harpers Ferry, midway point. Right. And then I jumped in a rental car, drove to the ending point. That's more Washington. And I didn't want to hike Mount Katahdin and everybody else up and down from the south side. I want to hike it from the north side in a continuous road all the way down. And then the next morning, the weather was not the same as nice than the day before. It was already overcast. And as soon as I started hiking, it started a little bit kind of a triple, like a little bit rain coming down. And as soon as I made it to Mount Katahdin, I was starting raining and it started pouring. And then the wind kicked in, 80-mile-hour wind. And at that point, because I'm calling my walk to recovery, when I started out hiking, I only had like 45% leg strength. You can check that out when you're being in a gym and you're doing a leg press. With your good leg, you can see how much you can press. Mm-hmm. And then you can see how much you can press on the opposite side. That's the reason I knew I was one about 40% leg strength when I started out. So at that point, by just hiking at that point, by midway point, Harpers Ferry, and hitchhiking up or driving up in a rental car to Maine, I was pretty much maybe close to 50% leg strength. So the wind was blowing me over. So I was falling and I was riding. I mean, you know, you hiked the Appalachian Trail, right?
Yeah, I did. 2011.
You see that cliffs going right and left down, right?
Katahdin is it's a very temperamental mountain. I did not get it on a good weather day. It didn't sound as bad as yours, but I didn't get the good fortune of clear skies like a lot of people do.
But you agree. I mean, that's right and left cliffs. I mean,
you can
fall. I mean, you can injure yourself pretty badly.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially as you get closer to the top. I remember, you know, we had the plan of just like spending the entire afternoon up there, like cooking food, drinking whatever whiskey that we had brought up there. and it was just so overcast and windy and rainy and shitty that like we were up there for like 10 minutes. Like, all right, I'm uncomfortable. Let's go home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And yeah. I think we had better weather conditions than you did by the sounds of it.
Right. I mean, 80-mile-hour wind and only having like at that point 50% leg strength on your left side.
Yeah.
And of course, the wind was blowing me over. And then seeing that cliff right and left, I didn't want to have another free-fall episode in my life. So, I mean, as a paramedic as well, I know exactly there was no way a helicopter could rescue me if I get severely injured. So I bunkered myself in a crevasse and I grabbed my sleeping bag to give myself warmth, because at that point from the night, the day before, and it was sunshine, I was like in the late, in the lower 70s, like close to the 80s. And then that
what time
point,
of year was this? Sorry.
There was midsummer already. Okay. Still. It was okay. Still, yeah, midsummer, but yeah. The weather in the mountains can change drastically. Yep. You know, you never know. And especially with the wind chill factor and with the rain, and you're pretty soaking wet and you only have summer gear, not having any protective gear, what I usually have in my backpack. I already dumped that because I was already coming down on the opposite side down to grab the rest of my gear. So actually, I want to be super lightweight because mm-hmm. every ounce counts. We as true hiker, we're really counting down our ounces. Yeah. So actually, I didn't have the full equipment of my gear inside my backpack. So I only had my sleeping bag and my hammock and not even a raincoat. So I was shivering. So I was sitting in my sleeping bag down feather, and my down feather was soaking wet at that point because it was pouring rain.
Right.
And then this was the amazing point of my life. I mean, that was just incredible. I had one bar cell phone reception on my cell phone. And then I called the first time in my life 911, and I got a reception, and I first answered the phone. It was the happiest moment of my life.
Wow.
And I was shivering. You're being freezing when you have hypothermia, stage one. You really have a hard time talking because you're shivering, you know.
Right.
And I was barely explaining to her where I was located. And I mean, she made the emergency call to the station where I was a triple crono, where was the park ranger. So he already hiked all three long distance hikes. Mm-hmm. He was in excellent care and shape. I mean, he came up in no time. Like, it took him less than 2.5 hours to get me from the base of the mountain. And then as soon as he got me, we changed clothes. I got a warm protective gear, a woolen cap hat on, and because the most of heat you're losing through your head, of course. And as soon as we want to start hiking together, and I was holding on the backside of his backpack on him to not be blown over with the wind. We both got blown over by the wind.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And we started crawling on all me on three legs and three limbs, and he on four limbs because I missed the leg already. But anyway, so we had to crawl to the opposite side of that gap of the trail to protect ourselves from the wind. And then finally, when he hit tree line, then we were protected from the wind again. But you know, when we're coming down in Katahdin, there's not just walking. I mean, we had to stem with our bodies these huge gaps with severe wind, and having already sitting in that crevasse for a couple of hours and having already a pulled muscle on my good side.
Yeah.
So I was even limping and having hypothermia and being completely exhausted by waiting for this guy for several hours and having hypothermia close to stage two at that point. I mean, that doesn't help at all.
And even still, you kept going.
Well, yeah, what else do you want to do?
Don't know. You stop.
You want to give up and give yourself a bullet?
Yeah. She didn't want to go back to her parents' house.
Yeah.
She didn't want to hike back to the garage and bunker back in there? No, definitely not.
Okay, so you did flip up. So you hiked from Springer to Harper's, and then you flipped to Katahdin, and then you...
Harper's Ferry?
Yeah, right.
Because I was doing aquablazing. You're familiar
in the Shenandoah section?
So I actually kayaked all the way from... Waynesboro, all the way up to Harper's Ferry. It was a kayaking trip of over 10 days.
Yeah.
And that's well explained in my book as well, with a bunch of pictures when you're getting the color version. And it was beautiful, because what I'm trying to say in my book is the journey, it's not a destination.
Right.
I'm really enjoying whatever opportunity you have in between. And especially at that point, it was really awesome to give my leg a rest by sitting in the kayak. So just using my upper body. It was really nice to exercising my upper body at that point and just give my leg at that point for 10 days a rest.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful, being on a Shenandoah River.
We also aquablazed. I think it...
You did?
Yeah. It was a little bit further north of Waynesboro, but it was a trail angel that we had met in Waynesboro is the one that coordinated everything.
Uh-huh.
I think we did about 40 miles through the Shenandoah section.
Okay.
And it was much more challenging than I was anticipating. So
the rapids, right?
Yeah. It was tough. It was also like just physically demanding, because at that point, you know, I had good I had my hiker leg, so hiking is not a problem, especially the Shenandoah section is very easy. My upper body had atrophied a lot. Like, I'm just, you know, I do push-ups maybe a couple times a week at best. I just remember being exhausted by the end of the day. It was much more challenging than I was expecting. And like you said, the rapids. So we took two different canoes, both boats capsized during
it. Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow. So you capsized as well. So you know what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
Exactly what you're talking about. It's stressful. It's fun. It's just part of the experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. At the time I didn't know, cause you know, since people have been like, you're not a real thru hiker, whatever, I don't care. But I just wanted the best experience, and that was it.
Like, but it was a memorable experience.
You're absolutely.
Not regretting it, right?
Not even in the slightest. Exactly. I would have done it 100 times out of 100.
And that's the message. Everybody who hikes the trail, don't be so tied up about hiking every inch of the entire trail.
Right.
If you have the opportunity to get hands on a kayak, do it. And then just, come on, you hike the trail for yourself. And if you kayaked it, of course, you're not anymore a true hiker, and you're supposedly not being a true hiker.
Right.
But still, I mean, now you think you can give me grief about it, that I not really become the first female who hiked the entire Appalachian. Guess what? I knew about that bullshit, and I want to pull that record. So I did a flip-flop. So actually, I hiked that section where I kayaked. So I kayaked it and I hiked
it. Oh, so you did both. Okay.
I did both.
So you're much more of a true
hiker. And nobody can give me shit about it. Yeah. Sorry, my language. But, you know, but it really got me going because a year later, Stacey Castle, who had like lupus, and she had some kind of paralysis in her legs. And she used like those crazy German braces where she could walk. But she had to recharge her batteries quite often, and she claimed herself that she hiked the Appalachian Trail, and wow, and everybody was excited about it.
Yeah, like national major media news.
Yeah, it was incredible. She was all over the media, and then the next year, and I was kind of shocked that she wanted to hike the entire Appalachian Pacific Crest Trail. I hiked the PCT Pacific Crest Trail in 06 and two legs, and I know what it means to hike the entire Pacific Crest Trail. And she claimed herself first, she hiked the AT, and the following year, just 1 year later, I was not capable just with a prosthetic leg. A year later to hike the PCT. I'm still not thinking I'm be capable right now to hike the PCT. And the fact that she hiked two major trails just continuous in 2 years, I mean, I was blown away with having lupus. And then I realized she was a cone artist.
Yeah. Yeah, especially last year, it was like a near record snow year.
Exactly. People died even on that year.
A few people did die.
On the river crossings.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really want to go down that rabbit hole, but I think her story's been pretty well disproven. So
yeah, but I think that's kind of a shame because she puts me in shame as
totally.
Well.
Totally, I understand.
And this
that.
Is the why, and this is the reason she gave me the motivation. Why I have right now three different versions of my book available right now on the market: audiobook, ebook, and right now a full color version of all of my accomplishments. So nobody can point finger to me that I didn't done what I'm saying right now in my book because everything is being evidenced inside my book on my website as well. Because you know what I'm saying, I'm meaning it and I'm doing it. And I don't want to be put in that same category with her as
right.
well.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you even have to do that, but I understand. I understand your
No, especially when you're being in that category, have a disability, it's not fun hearing something like that from someone who's claiming herself she did it and she did not. You should be honest about your stuff.
Absolutely.
What's the point anyway?
Yeah.
Right.
So were there any challenges in your thru hike that you didn't predict? That, you know, given your challenges, something that maybe wasn't foreseen before you had left for the trail?
Well, I thought I got the best prosthetic leg as best as possible because I was really confident with my prosthesis. And then I realized there's different prosthetic legs available. One is called the pin lock system, where a pin goes into a hole and makes a connection and stays pretty safe, stable. And another prosthetic leg is an air suction system where air is being pushed out and creates a vacuum, and that's the way the cuff and the limb stays put together. And when I started out hiking the Appalachian Trail, I had a pinlock system, but the pinlock system is not the same as kind of tied connected to the bottom, so I had a lot of friction going on, so my scar tissue went wide open. And with that, bacteria from the scar tissue ended up in a blister on top of my lymph, and I created a severe swelling. And that was already just the first month of my true hiking experience, already kicked me out of the trail for over 10 days because of an infection with severe swelling for over 10 days with antibiotics. And then I realized, because I got told that I should have an air suction system. And thankfully, I got so super lucky that actually a company, Medical Click, sponsored me for a new kind of a prosthetic cuff called the air suction system. Mm-hmm. So Medical Click medical clinic sponsored me with that new leg, and that was amazing. I was really super thankful, because if they not cover the cost for that leg, because it's quite expensive,
yeah,
I would not became the first female who hiked the entire Appalachian Trail.
Wow.
So, like, when you hear someone say they're, you know, too slow or too fat or out of shape or can't do it or just making excuses, does that drive you up the wall?
Well, everybody has his own philosophy in life. I'm not here to change other people's opinion, because I couldn't change a doctor's opinions being so negative about why they have the right to tell people when I was 16, telling me at that point in my life that I will have back pain the rest of my life after my triathlon accident. Why they have the right to tell me, because of my severe pelvic injury and my spine injury, that my nerve damage is so severe that I will have no ability to walk ever again. So how I can make doctors change? How I can make the pharma industry change to not giving so much opiates out there? I'm not here to change the whole entire planet. I'm only here to change everybody who's around me, to give an example. Here I am, and I'm pulling this record right now as the first female bicycling across the country, unsupported on a prosthetic leg. And this is just funny, because I cannot believe it. We are 2018 right now, and no other female bicycle across the country on a prosthetic leg. What the heck?
Yeah.
What's happening? I mean, I was stunned about them, because I was making researches, and then CAF, Challenge Athlete Foundation, was supporting all the amputees pretty much. I asked them, even on their own sakes, to make some researches. When they came back with me with an email, no, you will be the first female unsupported coast to coast on a bicycle. That's what I'm not getting. I don't understand what's causing people to hold back on that kind of stuff. Yeah. You know?
Well, so I imagine that there's a lot of people listening to this who want to take on something like the AT. And like Chant said, that I think there's a litany of excuses as to why they can't do it. Aside from leading by example, which you do a phenomenal job with.
Oh, wait, there was the oldest lady, the oldest guy, the guy who was blind. I mean, come on, nobody could have any more any excuses anymore not to hike an AT. I mean, I'm not the only one who did something out of the ordinary, because what I said already, blind people, I mean, obese people, I mean, all kinds of different stories. When you're going to the Appalachian Trail Museum, you're seeing all this people who did it. And I mean, even a guy with a cat hiked the entire trail.
This actually reminds me.
A guy with a cat can do it. So can we.
You can handle a cat all the way 2,000 miles. That's pretty impressive.
We've got an article on the Trek. I think it's titled 13 Unlikely Appalachian Trail Hikers. And Nikki, I don't think you're on it just because we wrote it before you actually hiked the AT, but we'll make sure to update it. But for anyone listening to this, I'll include it in the show notes, but it includes a lot of the examples that you touched on.
I think I'm part of it already.
Are you part of it already? Okay. Yeah, I know Maggie Wallace wrote it. I can't remember exactly when she...
Mother Gatewood is the oldest lady. There's the first lady, even the first lady.
Yeah.
She hiked, and she was at that point, and that was in early 19 whatever. I mean, I have no idea what year it was, but it was really... when even the trail wasn't even developed 100%. It was really way more rock scramble, and she was 65 at that time.
Grandma
and
Gatewood
she only hiked it with a shower curtain, not even having a tent. Yeah. She was ultra, ultra lightweight, because we cutting our toothbrushes in half to save weight. I mean, we not can make up the weight what she had only with her, because she didn't have a backpack. She was just kind of a simple kind of a bag hanging around her shoulder, and just a douchebag. I mean, not a douchebag, I'm sorry. Second language, sorry.
Chance, if you're not familiar with Grandma Gatewood, she's an incredible story.
Like, oh, I know.
You have to read her memoir or listen to it, an audiobook. Mother Gatewood memoir is pretty incredible.
Grandma Gatewood's Walk, is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly.
You touched on this a little bit, but your bio indicates that you are a trained chef.
Yeah, that's the reason I was cooking for people. All
yeah,
the time.
Right. Yeah. So your expertise is in German cuisine.
European. I mean, I cooked an American cruise vessel. I cooked in Switzerland in a chalet. I did all kinds of crazy things. I had my own catering business back in Germany.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
And I grew up with my parents in a restaurant. Yeah.
We're gonna get
the ice cream. Remember the ice cream?
Yeah.
Exactly. Remember the ice cream?
I'll never forget the ice cream. Very quick aside, have you been to Little Man Ice Cream in Denver here?
No, I did not.
Have you been to Little
good.
Man?
It's
so good.
It's so good.
They make their own ice cream?
I've heard so much about this place since I've moved to Colorado, and I'd never went, because there's always a huge line, and I'm kind of skeptical about how good.
You just said it's good.
Well, So I'm getting there. Oh, okay. I went there for the first time this past weekend, and I was blown away.
Oh yeah, like good?
It's really good. It was worth the wait in line, which I usually try to avoid lines.
How many different kind of ice creams they have?
It was late when I was there. I had something that was like a Whopper flavor. Like a chocolate malty thing. There's probably, if I had to like guess, maybe like 16 different options somewhere 16? In that range. Okay. Yeah, but it was really good. So I'm curious, you know, considering your background, what was your go-to on-trail meal? Did you have a favorite meal?
Well, yeah, I mean, food is huge. I mean, I really think why people cannot make an entire distance because of their own diet, because food is essential, because you're not feeding yourself, you starve and you die. So yeah, a good thing I was having the opportunity and being a chef and going to culinary school and learning all the good stuff about preparing awesome meals, and cooking for me it's definitely a big part.
So for an entire through hike, you can only eat one dinner. What is it?
The favorite dinner that I cook on the trail?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I mean, I really like doing kind of tortellinis.
Tortellini?
Ooh, tortellinis. I had tortellini a bunch.
Yeah.
With chocolate?
Those are good.
The tortellinis, no. Actually, they're really nice. They're a little bit heavy, but you can buy them dried, freezed. And so you just saute a little bit of garlic in a little tiny cooking stove. And then you boil them in water. And, you know, I use that water. I don't just boiling and then toast the water away, because everything you're carrying with you is essential.
Right.
So you're just boiling it down and keep the water inside. And that's the sauce.
Yeah.
And it's really basic stuff, but peanut butter, it's awesome too, because it makes nice creamy sauce. So mm-hmm. you're putting the peanut butter
even
inside
now.
In the water. So you just let the tortellinis boil and then you put the peanut butter in between. Huh. So it makes nice garlic peanut butter sauce.
Ooh, oh, tortellini nice. With peanut butter. I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't Here think those go. Two things to go together, but
I used to.
And you have some beef jerky left, you can add that into it and have some nice sausage bites.
Now we're talking hiker trash right now. Yeah, I love good. This. Tortellini, peanut butter, and beef jerky. Yeah, I'm all in on this.
I was going to say, the only thing I could add creative. To the tortellini is that, so I had bought some bagged tortellini because they had some that was like in like the pasta aisle, like not refrigerated, just, you know, on the shelf.
Yeah.
But they also have like by the pasta sauces now, like how they have the Knorr's pasta sides. They'll have those little green like packets of just like powdered Alfredo.
No, that's chemicals. Don't do that. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, so you'd take that and you'd put it into boiling water and you'd mix it up and it would make Alfredo sauce.
You don't need chemicals. You
and
just
then
need peanut
put it
butter.
In your tortellini.
You need peanut
delicious.
Butter and garlic and then some spices. You don't need chemicals.
Wait, so you're not doing like pasta size or?
No. I'm not buying ready sauce.
See, that's the advantage.
I hit a nerve.
That's the advantage of being.
You're insulting me right now here.
You should see the rest of the things I eat.
Yeah. It's cheating, you know?
Uh-oh. She was just excited because that was the one thing that she ate that wasn't chocolate.
I know. I really got excited. I got shut down quick. That's all right.
Yeah, well, that's good. I won't talk about my diet then. Although we're about to get the real... We're going to go through the gauntlet.
Yeah.
So, that's a little bit of foreshadowing, but we have a couple more questions for you. So you also mentioned earlier that you were a boxing and kickboxing champion. So I have to know, is Jean-Claude Van Damme your hero? And I have a follow-up question. How long has he been your hero for?
Oh, yeah, great. You're insulting me right here.
No, he never show. Was.
I mean, okay, I like Bloodsport. Bloodsport is an incredible, awesome movie. It's just, I mean, one of the best movies. It was 80s or the 90s? It was in the 80s, 90s.
I don't know. My IMDb wants to say late 80s. So.
Late 80s, yeah. But I mean, the best hero movie, hero actor star is Sylvester Stallone, Rocky Balboa.
Rocky Arnold?
Rocky 1, all the ones, all the way to 7. Yeah. I mean, he's just... I mean, think about it. Sylvester Stallone had a script written in like less than a day.
Yeah.
The entire manuscript for the movie.
For Rocky, yeah.
For Rocky 1.
Yeah, right.
And no moving company wants to actually getting the movie done because they didn't accept him as the main actor.
Yeah.
And I love it because the story is just incredible. He's even sold his dog because he didn't have enough food for feeding his animal. And he could have made already $250,000 by selling his script.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so determined. And this is what I like so much about Sylvester Stallone. He was holding on to his ideal idea. And this is what I'm trying to give as a message out there. Whatever your dream is, there's a way, there's a will, there's a way. You can do whatever you want. This is the best example from Sylvester Stallone. He was holding to his idea because he wrote that script when he wrote the script for himself as the main actor. And guess what? Now his movie all the way 1 to 7. I mean, think about it.
I just saw Creed last year.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's number 7.
And I will say, Creed didn't suck. I was surprised.
All of them, they can be choosy and everyone can beat them up, but actually I love all of them.
Yeah.
They're all great.
I was, you know, given your European background, I was expecting you to say definitely Jean-Claude or Arnold. Olympia.
Arnold Schwarzenegger has all his action movies and then Sylvester Stallone was making Rambo. I didn't hate it. I hated Rambo, but I really, really love Sylvester Stallone in the movie Rocky all the way through. Definitely my ideal movie.
Okay,
for sure.
I do have one more follow-up question on the Jean-Claude conversation train. And given your background as a chef, I think this is a million-dollar idea that you can't pass up. So I want to open up a food truck, and it's called Jean-Claude's Van Clams.
Oh, great!
So we sell clams out of a van. And that's the whole idea. But I think with the name...
In Colorado, where are you getting the clams from?
That's a detail I haven't
that's
thought
step
through
two.
Yet.
That's phase two.
Yeah, the first part is the van. Well, the first part is the idea.
I already have a van. I have my camper van.
Perfect.
So you're
phase
in.
Phase one's done.
I already have a stove inside. It's a whole enchilada in there.
Okay. That sounds
phase
like a commitment
two, now we need to locate
you can cook
clams.
Something together after we're done with the interview. Make something with liquid bread.
Got a little bit of peanut butter. We can go.
Here we go.
We can go the distance right now.
Open and shop.
Actually, a stout brewery beer sauce with peanut butter. It's beer and peanut butter make a good sauce, actually, you know?
What?
We're onto something right now. Hmm. Well, I don't want to be selfish with your time here. Thank you so much for coming on. This has been a lot of fun.
This
really has been a ton of fun. So two things before we let you go. Actually, three things. Okay, so you mentioned briefly what your next adventure is. If you could please just outline that again so people can follow you.
Yeah, I'm actually right now, this is the last few days before leaving Denver. I'm driving up on Friday night to Summit County, going skinning up A Basin, skiing down on Saturday. And after I'm skiing down A Basin, I'm heading down to Frisco doing a book signing. And then I crash, because I was a ski instructor, I have a bunch of ski instructor friends up there. I crash for the night in Summit County. And then I'm leaving the following day on Sunday on my way to my most favorite hot springs, Valley View. I don't want to advertise it much. Nobody should know it. It's in hot springs. Don't go there. Don't go there.
We can edit it.
Horrible.
And then from there, I'm heading on my way to Arizona, Flagstaff, where there's a big motorbike ATV rally, where I'm being hired as a motivational speaker and having a booth where I'm doing book signings as well. And from there, I have to go really quickly back to pick up my new built titanium bicycle, built by Dean, because they're making a prototype bicycle for amputees, because getting off the seat and bicycle standing up is quite challenging for prosthetic leg. So we have special kind of components built into the bicycle will make it way easier for me right now. So I'm really psyched because this bicycle is not ready yet. So when I'm coming back on the 22nd, I will have then finally this bicycle in my hands, hopefully, should be, right? And then the 23rd, I'm flying to San Francisco. And then San Francisco, I have 10 days to spend time in San Francisco. But San Francisco is huge because I'm doing a book signing. I'm doing probably a veterans talk. And on the weekend I'm arriving in San Francisco, there's a big bicycle event where they're having me as a motivational speaker and having a booth where I'm doing book signing there as well. And on June 3rd, I already said in the beginning of the interview, that's this World Bicycling Day, Bicycling Celebration Day, June 3rd. This is my day I'm launching, and that was not being planned. And this is what we're talking about, trail matching, because it was not planned that I want to plan on June 3rd, but it was just the circumstances, and it ended me up on June 3rd. And launching on June 3rd, bicycling over a Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, and people following me, because it's a bicycle club, are following me behind me, and me doing some media coverage. And I having everything about every day about my bicycle journey being launched on Instagram and on Facebook. So everybody wants to follow me, just look me up on Nikki Rilon on Facebook and on Instagram, the same name. Also on my webpage, the media, social media accounts being linked in. And my webpage is www.nikkirilon.com. So anybody wants to follow me along the road, because I would like to give people signed copies, because I have a couple of copies always be with me on my bicycle ride. The whole entire map is being mapped out on my website. So just go to my website, nikkirilon.com, and you can see an entire map planned out.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you so much. And anyone listening to this should absolutely check out your book. It's Push On, My Walk to Recovery on the Appalachian Trail.
And it's available as an ebook, audiobook, in full color with over 180 photographs, and as a black and white version with zero photographs, that's a little bit less expensive because printing in color is quite expensive.
Yeah.
And guess what? The reason I have to charge a little bit more money for the color version, I have to sell over 4,000 copies to break even before I break even.
Well, as soon as this goes out, I think you'll be well over it. This is basically the Oprah bump.
What? Four?
I mean, we've got, if we're just factoring in our Patreon effect.
Right here, there's three of us.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's already three.
you're counting the authors buying her own book?
Two of us.
Great. Still missing a lot of books before I make 4,000 copies.
Okay, we're there.
So that concludes the interview portion. Before we let you go, for this episode, Chance and I came up with a new segment where we make our favorite trail snack and then the other person has to try it. We've also made enough for you as well, given your background as a professional chef.
Okay, we're tasting here, huh?
Yeah.
We want you to rate our meals that we eat on trail.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So if you could just give us a second, I got to...
Yeah, go on, set it up.
So you prepared something specially here.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so it's 100% Pepsi can stove meal.
So mine, this is, I was going stoveless for this one.
Oh, we both went
what
stoveless.
What is it, a Vispolite stove cooking or what is it?
This is in my kitchen 20 minutes before
I
left.
That's not really trail food, then. You have to cook in a Pepsi can stove. Or
oh, no, this is trail food. Trust me, these are trail ingredients right here. And so I'm going to hand it to you and introduce it to you at the same time. And
then, to me or to her?
So we're going to do our tasting after we let Nikki go.
Oh, I was going to say, don't give it to me.
You're off right now. We're still recording.
So we want
you heard my sound spin I'm eating right now.
Yes. Yep.
So there's two different tortillas there. Just grab one of them. The
you
other
did
one's
two?
For
two? Yeah. Oh, okay. One's for me.
Yeah, one's for you.
I thought you were giving her two flavors.
You have no chilies in there. No spicy.
Nope. This is so...
Because I have really sensitive taste buds.
Yeah. I'll do the chef thing here and I'll introduce what you're enjoying right now.
So this is peanut butter.
Yep. Peanut butter. I was glad to hear that you're a proponent of peanut butter because so this is a flour tortilla, a mini flour tortilla. I usually do the full size, but for the sake of tasting, I figured this made more sense. Peanut butter, a little bit of honey. I went raw honey for this one because I had access to that. Maybe not always the option on trail. And then to add a little bit of a crunch and some texture to it, I sprinkle in a little bit of trail mix, specifically trail mix with M&Ms. This variety had peanut M&Ms, which is usually not my go-to. I go with like the Costco, the mass quantity. I think it's basically just Gorp plus the regular chocolate M&Ms. So this is a slight variation on my typical dish. But this is one of my favorites.
It's just kitchen sink stuff all pulled together, but you have leftover in your backpack.
That's exactly right.
And I love tortillas because you can wrap anything up what you want inside a tortilla.
It's the edible
plate. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
And you can have even candies in peanut butter. It's awesome. It's good. It's delicious. It's really nice.
Ooh, you hear that? Did you hear that feedback?
No, sorry. I wasn't listening.
A professional chef said that.
I'm really hungry right now.
This is perfect. That's how I planned it this way, that a professional chef is really enjoying my...
I like the crunch. I like the crunch. I like the peanuts and whatever else, the M&Ms. Nice and crunchy. Ooh. And the honey makes it nice and sweet.
I've set a high bar here.
Yeah. All right. I'll get mine out.
This is already my new favorite segment. This is great. Chance, you got to introduce your meal.
Okay. So what I'm going to present is a rounded bread loaf with thin sliced fried potatoes and a delicately chopped pepper jack cheese.
Have you worked in a restaurant before?
So here's
me. Oh, you have a taste for me too.
She wrote that.
I have to.
Wow. She's sucking up.
Oh my goodness, this is top notch here.
I'm getting a
picture Zach.
Of this.
Presentation's key.
Oh, I mean, this is incredible. I mean, look at this.
I'm not even mad.
There's a work of art here.
I'm impressed.
This is a work of art.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the decoration.
Yes,
even,
there's cilantro
even
on the side.
Some leaves you put around. I mean, gosh, this is a work of art.
Only the best.
I don't even try it. It's already top notch. was on.
There you go. Did you hear that, Zach? She hasn't even tried it, and it's already better.
There's a lot of good-looking art that probably tastes like shit.
You were cocky a bit ago,
weren't you? I want to hear.
Cheese. You cannot beat it. Cheese.
You cannot beat cheese.
Cannot beat cheese.
Cannot beat cheese.
Cheese is incredible.
Incredible. Hasn't even tasted it. It's incredible.
It's incredible. Exactly.
There we go.
Let's let the taste buds have a say.
It's way healthier because candies is not good health.
Yeah, candies not good for you.
Did you sprinkle arugula underneath?
That's cilantro.
Cilantro.
With all the cavities for all kids who eat way too much.
You need vegetables. Yeah.
Too much of my dish.
Yeah, exactly. But this is good calories for the trail. For
true.
Sure.
Yeah, yours was good for like...
You're putting so many calories because this is a way more loaded calorie dish right there.
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome. This is delicious, but it's so much heavier.
Yeah, yes, it's not efficient
filling.
For the trail.
It's filling.
We should talk about.
Yeah, but it has more calories and it's lighter, so it's a little more beneficial mm-hmm. for true hiking. But this is delicious.
Delicious. That comes you hear that?
I'm allowed to eating it out of work.
Oh, you can have it.
Yeah, that's yours.
Have at it.
That's yours.
Incredible. So I was watching you and I was wondering, what the heck? She's so starving hungry before she can interview me.
Oh no, that was for you.
It was for me. I had no
idea.
It was
made of love.
I just am hoping to God that this is awful. I know it won't be, but...
And even, what is that? Chips? What is that?
Those are the thinly sliced fried potatoes.
Was it those Lay's?
They have barbecue chips and Fritos.
Oh, she put chips in between. Wow.
I'm getting shown up right now.
Is it the candle?
Habanero cheese. That's habanero cheese. A little bit spicy.
Pepper jack.
Yeah, pepper jack, exactly.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bite to it.
A little bite, yeah. A little kick.
I didn't listen to the full presentation because just the way that you said it was too funny for me to actually be involved in the conversation. Are there condiments on that?
No.
So it's just totally dry?
You said bring something that you ate on trail.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because I feel like someone on mine and Nikki's ilk is going to knock you for the...
the authenticity of my meal?
Just the dryness of it.
Are you a true hiker? You hiked the entire trail?
Not entirely. I'm going to go finish the Sierra in August.
Oh, you hiked the PCT?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so but I missed a section. I did most of it. I missed part of the Sierra because of the snow and the river crossings.
But you hiked 90% of the trail?
Over 2,000 miles.
Over 2,000? Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's still 600 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's awesome. Yeah. You liked it?
Oh, yeah. I had a great time.
So you never hiked the AT?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
So you're like me. You start out first with the PCT and then you hike the AT. Perfect.
There we go. Yeah.
There we go. Because I agree mentally, absolutely. AT people are really too cocky. 100% for sure. Because they have to understand the PCT has nice switchbacks, but everything is way more challenging.
So, I mean, not to harp on this, but part of the tasting was you have to determine which of these is your favorite. Given your professional background, we were curious what your expertise is stating here. No pressure. I mean, no pressure. Whichever one, you're basically saying which person you like better. I mean, no pressure whatsoever.
I mean, I'm sorry. I love cheese.
Yes! Yes! I win again! I love that this episode started with you shotgunning a beer because you lost to me, and the episode ends with you losing another contest to me.
Yes.
You brought the candle. All right.
I did bring a candle, Zach.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole enchilada, she was dressed top-notch on the candle.
Folded,
the candlelight
folded
dinner,
napkin.
Yeah. And a real porcelain.
We played it.
Even plastic. It's real.
Yeah.
And real cheese. Come on.
We had
just
a plating
like
before
just like
show.
A normal thru-hike, you know, a porcelain plate.
It's actually plastic.
Oh,
but
it?
I complimented Terry Yule because this is definitely out of the kitchen sink. That's what you have on the backpack. This is lightweight. This is efficient. This is good calories because it gets you going. This is too heavy. And it's really hard to carry donuts or like buns like that with you on the trail because they're getting moldy and they're getting, you cannot having more, you cannot have buns like on the trail.
So yours might have won in the taste bud department. Mine wins
in
the practicality
the trail,
department.
Right in the beginning. But I really like, I don't like to carry that heavy stuff. I like to carry stuff I can cook in my stove. And having a hot meat.
Yeah,
dish.
But have you been to the Stehekin Bakery?
The what?
Stehekin Bakery?
No.
Oh.
It's a good bakery. They make better German.
It's the final town before Canada.
Oh,
and that's where you'll carry out some of that.
Yeah,
I hiked the 06. That was a long time ago.
It's just
you missed out. You got to rehike it.
I should do it because that'd be the first female hike the PCT on a prosthetic. Like, woohoo.
Yeah,
first
absolutely.
Female. I think a guy did already as a guy on the PCT. Do you know anything about that?
It's not ringing any bells
not
off the top
either.
Of my head.
I can pull another record. Here we go.
There you go.
You get your.
I mean, I cannot believe it. In 2018, I still can pull a record. I mean, it's just fucking amazing, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's incredible.
I don't know. Other girl did it before me, bicycling across the continent. Was that like I just blown away that I'm right now the first female And it was like going coast to coast on a bicycle.
Yeah. You're crushing all kinds of records. It's not surprising.
I mean, 2018, I don't know why, but yeah. I know other girl did it before me. I mean, tough chicks are out there right now in these days, right?
Yeah.
Because the average, when I hiked in 06, the PC team, there was maybe 2-10 guys, money, one girl out there. And then the 18, when I hiked in 2015, it was pretty much 50-50, female-male. So actually, the female power is coming a long ways right now in these days.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, Bionic Women, thank you again so much for your time.
So. Thanks for the liquid bread.
Thank you. Thanks for that rating.
Yeah. Special for the candle idea.
You're welcome. You can take that with you if you'd like.
You're the first guest to get the dinner treatment. Wow. We usually starve our guests, so just load them up on alcohol. So. Yeah. But yeah, thanks.
Another record, huh?
Another record.
There you go.
Just locking them down. Thanks again so much for your time. We really appreciate
Cheers.
It.
Post. Yeah.
Post.
Post. That concludes our interview with the Bionic Woman. We had a lot of fun there.
Oh, I had so much fun.
Yeah. It
feels good to be you, I have to say.
You're getting a little bit too much pleasure out of this. By the way, she did say that my meal was more logical for the trail. It was more calorie dense. It was lighter.
Yeah, but what people say and what people eat are telling two different stories.
Listen, So we went to what's the place where the JMTers all ditched their food in the High Sierra? I'm
Muir
blanking.
Valley?
Muir Valley. Muir Trail Ranch.
Muir Trail Ranch, yeah.
And when we went through, there's like a dozen different buckets, and every bucket's categorized. Like, this one's meat, this one's trail mix, this whatever. the first lid that Jabba opens up is just like a huge, like one of the giant summer sausages. Not the normal, I want to say 8 ounces. This is like the full 12 or 16 ounce. And I watched him eat the entire thing in one sitting.
Ew.
I think I got it on video. Is it too late to submit clips to the video?
No, you can submit them, mm-hmm. and then I'll put them promptly into the trash folder.
Cool. The trash folder, good. So before we get into our new segment for one another, I just a little bit more Trek propaganda here. This is a question I get a lot, and I'm quite frankly unqualified to answer, is people coming from abroad, maybe, and I'm sure our guests could weigh in on this. People coming from abroad, they just want to know a little bit more about the logistics, you know, how to make an international through hike work. So I usually say that I'm not going to talk too much about the article, and then I pretty much read the article. But I'll just say this got tips about your visas, your permits, your food, your phone SIM cards, hitchhiking. It pretty much, you know, runs the gamut. So I'll link it in the show notes if you're curious and you're listening to this abroad. We have a lot of abroad listenership, which is something I'm proud of, I think.
Especially some fans from Finland.
Got at least, what, it was like 5 or 6 in Finland?
I don't know. I was just going off that email.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'll include that in the show notes, but I want to get to our new segment because I'm hungry, which is... I got my own. Don't worry. Our Chauncey's got her own. I'm not sure if she'll be able to get it down at this point based on the color of her face right now. But this is a new segment. I forget how we came up with this. This was during our last episode, right?
This was me saying we should do this for bonus episode number 2.
Okay. Where we prepare our favorite trail snacks and or meals for one another and kind of just do like a live on-air sampling, describing what we're eating and critiquing one another's selection. Let's preface this by saying Chance is holding her stomach right now.
I'm so nauseous.
Yeah, she's Please not, don't make me she's not having a good time. So maybe I'll eat both meals. I don't care. But so here we go. Are you even going to attempt to eat right now? Do you want to try one bite? Maybe this is the cure all for. I mean, just look at that presentation. So you've already heard this in the interview, but I'll just give a quick recap. Flour tortilla, peanut butter, honey, raw honey at the thing, and trail mix. And to be specific, this trail mix is M&M's, raisins, and peanuts. I think there's almonds in there as well.
Why is the tortilla wet?
That's the secret sauce. The moisture, I'm assuming, is just the honey runoff. I don't know.
Oh, she's scared.
She's not trusting of what is going in her mouth right now.
It's not too bad.
Yum.
Okay. So let's just say the results on this one are a little bit tainted because I think Chance is about to throw up. Let the record show this is nothing to do with the food. Nothing to do with the food, right?
It's so thick and dense.
Don't say that's what she said. All right. Okay, well, I'll go on to mine because I, unlike you, I have an appetite right now. And I do have to, as much as I hate losing, I got to give you mad props on the presentation.
Thank you.
Would you like to spend your last 12 words on reintroducing the meal that you've prepared for me here?
They've already heard the intro, but I'll reread it.
Yeah.
Let me pull up the note that I wrote it all down on. I'm sorry, it's hard to get this peanut butter down.
Yeah.
It is a rounded bread loaf with...
a bagel.
with thin sliced... Should I read it and you interpret it?
Yep.
Okay. A rounded bread loaf.
Bagel.
With thin sliced fried potatoes.
Fritos.
And a delicately chopped pepper jack cheese.
Just cheese.
There you go.
And what is this garnish here again?
Cilantro.
That is a nice touch.
And it's a candlelight.
And it's... Yeah, don't forget to talk about the candle.
Yeah. Absolutely, that's beautiful.
It's got a light switch if it's too bright.
Battery-operated candle. It doesn't suck.
Yeah.
It doesn't suck at all.
There you go. And there's no condiments on there. Remember you made fun of that? Imagine if you put condiments on there.
It would do better with condiments.
Well, there you go. It's great, and it would do better with condiments. So it's good, and it can only get better. That's what you're saying.
My lone critique is Thomas Bagels, the rounded bread loaf.
We're going for things you can get on trail.
You can get Thomas. Thomas is at every grocery store.
I actually got this out of the bakery cabinet stuff at Safeway. They're freshly made.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I was going to say, it's like the clearance section.
Yeah, it was where I could just buy one instead of a pack.
It doesn't suck.
Thank you.
All right. So we're going to put these intricate recipes in the show notes so you guys can recreate these for yourself if you'd like. Maybe not the candle and the garnish, but... all right, so we're going to do our last segment of the show here where we read our 5-star reviews on iTunes.
All right.
Mostly to make ourselves feel better.
Excuse me, I'm talking.
I'm so sorry. I'll go back to you.
Lyle Cooper says, funniest and most realistic back... And then the... title gets cut off, but I assume it says backpacking podcast. I'm currently a live-in nanny working to save money for my folks. I'm going to start that one over. I'm currently a live-in nanny working to save money for my Sobo PCT hike this summer. Your podcast makes my day when I get the chance to listen to it. Some days it's the only adult interaction I get. I absolutely love Juliana and Zach. Both of you guys are hilarious. I literally laugh out loud in public when I listen to you. I love hearing all the stories from the guest speakers. Listening to your podcast gets me excited for my hike. Thank you guys for being awesome.
Ooh, that's nice.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was good.
No, not even a subtle burn there. I was kind of just bracing for the... But Zach is a ginger. Oh, yeah. Did he hike
the
YouTube?
Let me know what's the feedback about my podcast.
100%.
Yeah. Oh, we will.
I'll read the next one and we'll wrap it up. Mm-hmm. This is from Old Man of the Mountains. He says, great motivation and information. Just got in the whole podcast thing, and Backpacker Radio is my number one go-to show. This is not the one he just read. No.
Were you listening to anything?
I was eating. Great conversation with Zach and Chance and their guests that are both funny and informative. I'm planning some 30 to 50 milers in the New Hampshire and Vermont area this summer with my kids, and this program is just what I need to stay motivated.
Woo-hoo.
So thank you so much, Old Man of the Mountains. If you want to have your review read on the show,
push that 5-star button and type away.
You can leave any star review that you want and we'll read it as long as it's 5 stars.
Yeah.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can reach out at podcast@thetrek.co. You can reach us on the social medias at Backpacker Radio. On Instagram at Backpacker Pod, on Twitter, and I just learned our Facebook URL is actually just facebook.com/backpackerradio. Go figure.
You finally figured that out. I've been telling you that the whole time, and that was probably what it was.
It was tough because I don't ever go to URLs when it's Facebook. It's just to go to the search bar. But anyways, me personally, you can find me at ZR Davis on Instagram or Twitter, and that's all I'm relevant on.
Maybe not even that. Me on Instagram @Juliana_Chauncey or on YouTube @Juliana Chauncey.
And Nikki, what are your social media?
Social media is my website, www.nikirellon.com. And it's linked to my social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram. But on social media accounts, just look up my name, Nikki Rellon, N-I-K-I-R-E-L-L-O-N.
Cool. Hopefully by the time that this episode goes out, you will take your address off of your Instagram profile.
You're welcome.
So nobody can find me at that location.
Well, thanks everyone for listening and happy hiking.
Bye.
To go.